Well, hey, good morning, everybody, to you who made it out on Daylight Saving Time for the early service. Good job. Way to go, everybody. I was talking to somebody earlier. I think it's way easier now with technology. Believe it or not, people under I don't know what age, like we actually had to remember it. We didn't have like anything that reminded us when we woke up. And so we were very late a lot of times for this. So I'm glad that we have technology that has caught up to us. Glad you took advantage of that. And I know that there are quite a few of you who are watching online that maybe you did wake up a little late, but you caught us. You're still with us because you could do this. So however you are watching us, wherever you're watching us from, we're so glad that you are joining us as well. And again, my prayer and hope every time. I know God wants to meet you. I know he is here. And I pray that you feel that and receive that already. And that it continues on as we go through his word today. And so let's get to his word. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those or electronics. And we're going to be in Luke 19 today. Luke chapter 19. Before we get there and kick off this brand new series, I do want to just bring up really quick Easter just to give you an update because I told you I would. And so a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, we opened up registration. So if you don't know and you didn't listen to Connor, we are having three services at 8, 10, and 12 o'clock. And we ask all of you to register as soon as you can. And so here's the good news. We're still a few weeks out. We've already had about a third of you register. So good job. Way to go. But if you have not registered yet, so all services are open still. I know they won't be eventually. But if you haven't done that, please help us out. Go to, and you'll see it on our social media, Instagram, Facebook, you'll see it on our website. Go over there and just register if you can, you and your kids, so that we just can come back next week. Here's my hope, that another third of us do it between now and next Sunday. I think that's doable. So then we can say, hey, we got two thirds of you, and we can start to tell you where we're full and where we still have owners. Yes, so hopefully you could do that. Make sure you go there and you can go to riverridge.com/Easter or .tv/Easter, or again, go to social media, you'll find it as well. And I do want to just mention really quick, we are going to have a Good Friday communion service, just so you know, just put that on your calendar, 7 o'clock on Good Friday. So it's not going to be like a big night of worship or anything like that. It's not going to be, so just as far as your kids and all those things, just keep that in mind. Again, this is an all family deal, but it's really going to be a time where we're just focusing on the death of Jesus on the cross. And the primary thing we're going to do is take communion and just worship a few songs. It's not going to be like an hour long deal. So please make your way there. I think it's going to be something you're going to want to do. So just make your way here. Good Friday, 7 o'clock, and we'll take communion together as we focus on the sin in our lives that put Jesus to the cross that he did lovingly for us. He sacrificed for us, and we'll do that together on Good Friday. Okay, so today we are starting a brand new series, just taking the next few weeks leading up to Easter. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at some encounters that people have with Jesus on his journey to the cross. And you know, one of the things as I study and you look at Jesus and his life, one of the things that you'll know consistently that he did is he always put himself in a place where he would encounter all kinds of different people. And he did it deliberately. He did it on purpose. And they would happen with all kinds of people. And the thing that I find fascinating about Jesus, what I love about him, he could hang with anybody and everybody. I love that about him, that he could actually have a place with the religious elite and he could keep up with them. And then you also see him, though, he was able to connect. This is what I love the most. He was able to connect with outsiders in a way where he wasn't looked at with somebody ministering. He was like one of them to the outsiders as well. And you know, it actually kind of got me to wondering about this as I thought about that. I just thought a lot about, man, if Jesus was alive today, right? If he was alive today, what would the perception of him be when we look? Like, what would the media be saying about him? What would the Christian media actually be saying about Jesus and the company he would keep? And, you know, maybe you would think, well, gosh, they'd probably just be looking at all his miracles and everybody. I think if he were alive today and known technology, I think he would be a little bit more cryptic about his miracles, because I don't think that's what he would want us to focus on. But I don't think the one thing that he would hide is who he would be around and where he would go to hang out with these folks, and not just hang out with them, but just be with them and love to be around them. And here's what I think. I think that the Christian media and influencers, I think they would have a heyday with Jesus today. I really do. I think you'd have all these fast takes and these quick judgments about him of, hey, this is why Jesus shouldn't be, you know, in the park, you know, chumming it up with all those Hell's Angels. Why is he always with them, right? I think that's what they would be saying. Or like, you know, did you see him? He was at that festival. He was at that festival. There was people drinking stuff and all this. Did you hear what that band was saying? He's condoning sin. Like, did you know that he was actually there and it looked like he was having fun, right? Like, I think that's what would happen. And I think you would quickly start to see these articles. I really do believe this. You would see 5 reasons why Jesus is a heretic. or you see somebody say, hey, there's three warning signs why Jesus is a false prophet, that's probably what we'd see. And I think honestly, like because I think this, because it, I think we would be very surprised. This is what I'm trying to say. I think we would be really surprised where Jesus would spend most of his time. Not some of us, I think we would be surprised about who he would be around most of the time. And I'm saying that, here's why I'm saying that, because we actually have firsthand accounts of what he did with his time and where he would be most of the time and who he would go around and hang around and while he lived on this earth. And let me tell you, you can see this. It shocked all the religious people. On a consistent basis, they were like, why is he hanging out with them? Why is he with them? What's he doing over there? Is he a drunkard? Like, what's he doing? Why is he promoting all these things that we're against? Today is actually one of those encounters. I love this encounter. It's great. So we're going to start reading a little bit. Luke 19, verse 1, and we're just going to read a little bit and talk. So here we go. Verse 1, it says this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Okay, so here's the encounter that we're gonna read about today. It's with Jesus and a guy named Zacchaeus. And right away, we are getting a couple of details about Zacchaeus that is really important. The first one that we see is that he was a tax collector. Right? He was a tax collector. And so if you don't know, back in that day, to be a tax collector was, you were in the most hated profession in all of Israel if you were a tax collector, right? There's like Steelers fan, then tax collector. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Just kidding, Rich. I love you. I'm just kidding. I love you. But football's over. It's okay. It's okay, Steelers fans. Don't email me. Anyways, but to be a tax collector, like you were not liked, and here's why. This is what was happening. To be a tax collector meant this, like, so Israel was occupied by Rome, right? And Rome, they were not Hebrew. They weren't following God in that way. They weren't Israelites, and so they were occupying it. And in a way that they controlled the territories, this is what they would do, is they would actually sell franchises to local Hebrews, Israelites who would renounce Judaism, and they would become collectors on behalf of Rome of money. They would tax them. Okay, and not only would they do that, they would also overtax so that they could give, you know, the money to Rome, and then they could keep some back for themselves. And people couldn't do much because they were backed by the Roman soldiers. They couldn't say anything or do anything because they were occupying the territory. So here's what they were doing: they were legally extorting money from their own people, and the authorities were in on it. All right, so they were kind of hated. Like, they weren't just kind of hated. You can read for yourself. You could always see when you read this. I say this all the time. It says that Jesus was with sinners and tax collectors. So I just find that kind of funny. But they were really hated. So that's the first one. Here's the second detail that we see. It's that he was rich. And so I think what this is telling us is that this is telling us the level by which Zacchaeus was cheating people. But here's what I think. I actually think Luke put this detail in here for a much deeper reason because of what he wrote right before this encounter. So if you're in your Bibles, you can flip back to chapter 18, just one chapter before. This is right before Jesus enters Jericho. And what you see before the encounter with Zacchaeus is another encounter that Jesus has with this rich guy. A lot of you know him by the rich young ruler. That happened right before he got into Jericho. And what we see in this story is that the guy comes up to Jesus and he asks him, like, how do I get into this kingdom of God? And Jesus tells him, you gotta be doing and obeying all the things that the laws are. And the guy gets happy because he's like, man, I'm doing that. He's really happy. He's saying, he's good because he's following all the do's and don'ts. But what we see is this guy ultimately walks away from Jesus because he wouldn't let go of his money and possessions. He couldn't do it. And as the guy walked away, this is what Jesus said. Here's what he said in Luke 18, 25. He goes, in fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And so his disciples, then they said, how does anybody get in? Who can be saved? And here's what Jesus says in response to what they said. He said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Okay, so that was the encounter. And so now we fast forward to where we are shortly after this. Now we're with Zacchaeus, another rich young ruler. He's another rich guy. And here's what we're gonna see today, gang. This is the connection that I found really fascinating. Jesus is gonna answer the disciples' questions right now. And here's what Jesus is gonna say. He's gonna say, let me show you how it's possible for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle. Let me show you what's impossible that I can do. that I can do. I'm gonna do the impossible. I'm gonna save the impossible. And I don't know if you find that kind of thing interesting. I do. I find that really fascinating. So anyways, I think it's really cool. All right, so we're gonna keep reading. Verse 3, it says this: Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And so here's a third detail that we need to know about Zacchaeus, is that he was short. Okay, that he was short. And that's not what the important detail is. It's not that he was short, but that he really, really wanted to see Jesus. Right? That's the detail that's really important. He really wanted to see Jesus, and he was too short to see over the crowd. And so what he does is he climbs a tree. He climbs a tree, and for some reason, I don't know why, I just got really interested in this tree, and I researched it a lot, probably a whole day. I don't know why, but here's what I found out. This is really cool. So I started to look, what is a sycamore fig tree? Now, I'm gonna put this up here. So many people believe, so Jericho still exists today, and people believe this is the actual tree. The one that you're seeing right here is the actual tree that they believe Zacchaeus climbed. Now, you can't verify that, but what they did verify is this tree is over 2,000 years old. I just found that kind of interesting, so that might be the tree that Zacchaeus climbed. And so there was my whole day of research right there in one picture. Okay. I found that kind of cool. Anyway, so now that's the scene, right? So that's the scene, and now we're gonna see the encounter that happens. We're gonna read the whole encounter and then talk a little bit. Let's keep going, next verse. So all right, so when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." All right, so this is the story. This is the story that we're gonna look at today. And here's what I wanna do today. If you have your notes, go ahead and get those out there, get those ready. What we're gonna look at today is I'm gonna look and I wanna see three things that Zacchaeus did, all right? And then from those, what I want us to grab are three breakthroughs that need to take place in us in order to really see Jesus clearly. So we're gonna take these three things that he did to get to some breakthroughs that need to take place with us. And this really today does speak to two different kinds of people. So if you're here, you're watching, and I know you are, and you would say that you are not yet committed to following Jesus, that you wouldn't really quite say you're a Christian yet, that you would put yourself in the category of not committed, or maybe you still have questions, or that you still have some hang-ups over Christianity, and you're trying to still consider that over other things, or nothing, or whatever it is, or maybe you have some doubts still. However you would categorize it, you're not all the way there with Jesus. This message is one for you, because here's what I'm hoping today for you, is that as we look through these breakthroughs, that I'm hoping you'll see some of those things that are coming up in your mind with why you have some reasons or barriers that won't get you all the way to believe in Jesus, and that they will help you get past some of these things like it did with Zacchaeus. So that at minimum, here's all I want you to have today, just that you at least have a clear view of Jesus. At least have a clear view of him so you can make a clear decision for him. So that's my prayer for you today. And if you're a Christian, if you're here and you are a follower of Jesus, these breakthroughs are just as important for us and for us to think about too, because here's what I want you to consider as we go through these. I want you to consider which side of the breakthrough you're on today, and which groups you're in as we go through this today, and just be challenged a little bit for us to see Jesus clearly as well, okay? So first, let's look at what Zacchaeus does. He does three things, okay? He climbs a tree, right? He gets over the crowd, and he took Jesus home. Those are the three things that he did. He climbed a tree, he got over the crowd, and he took Jesus home. So now with those, let's look at the breakthroughs that take place with those. So if you're taking notes, here's the first breakthrough, is that as he climbed the tree, Zacchaeus had a breakthrough in pride. That he had a breakthrough in pride as he climbed the tree. So what we gotta think about is Zacchaeus, even though he wasn't liked or anything like that, like he was kind of like, almost like maybe a politician kind of position. He was very prominent, very known, like just kind of dignified in a way. Like he was like, he represented Rome and all those things. So for somebody to do that, and not only that, he was the chief tax collector. He was like the head guy of all the other tax collectors. But what I wanna say is like climbing a tree was undignified. It was almost like probably an embarrassing thing for somebody to do. Like, why is that guy climbing the tree? Like, imagine being in a park and seeing some dude in a suit just climbing a tree. Like, it would just look odd, okay? It would just, why is he climbing a tree? So we got to understand that was a little bit undignified for him. But here's what I don't think was going through his head was he was worried about what other people saw. I don't think he was worried about what other people were thinking. I don't think that he was worried about what he looked like, because here's why, everybody. He had to see Jesus. He had to see Jesus. Here's what I want to say. I think he was that desperate to see Jesus. And gang, what I want to say, I think for many of us, we don't ever let ourselves get to that place. I don't think we ever let ourselves get to that place. And what gets in the way, everybody, is pride. Pride gets in the way of climbing the tree. Pride gets in the way of seeing Jesus in that way, because I think pride will keep us from believing that we're like that, that we have that kind of desperation. We should have that kind of desperation to see Jesus. And pride will tell us that we don't need the impossible to be done for us with Jesus. That we're not that bad. We're not that far gone. And I think pride will actually hold us back and think more highly of ourselves, and it'll keep us out of the tree. But not only will pride keep us from climbing that tree, here's what else it does. And this goes for Christians too, by the way. But pride will also compel you to not believe in the supernatural. Did you know that? Pride will tell you not to believe in the supernatural. Pride will say, hey, don't believe that nonsense. Like, come on, man. There's something beyond this world. There's something more that we can't see. There's something more than human. You're a grown up. So yeah, you know, like maybe there's something out there, but don't let it get too out there, especially with the supernatural. That's kid stuff. That's not real. You know, I started thinking about this. I really did. I started thinking about this. I don't know where you're at with this idea of the supernatural, and that we have a supernatural God, and with eternity and the battle between good and evil and heroes and villains and all that stuff. But you know what I think? I actually think we lean way more into that kind of stuff than you think we do. Like, you ever wonder why there's so much fiction, fantasy, stuff like that out there, movies and novels, all kinds of things? You ever wonder why there's so much content dedicated to that idea, the battle between good and evil, and there's a hero and there's a villain, and the hero has victory and all that stuff, like the books? I mean, we got franchises dedicated to that. We got Star Wars and Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and Marvel and all those things. Like, you ever wonder where that comes from? And maybe you're like, well, it's just kind of our creativity. Okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe you're like, well, the Bible is just another one of those. It's just another one of those fantasies, no different. But here's what I want to challenge you with. Just come with me for a second. Just compared to all that other stuff, if you could just consider a couple things, if you could just think about, start to consider the age of the Bible and the dating and how far back it goes, the thousands and thousands of years of all these manuscripts that are copied over these years, and the scrutiny by which all of this has gone under, and it's still held every time all the way until today. I mean, here's what I want. Could it be different? I mean, could it just be different that maybe, we didn't make up the Bible like everything else, but it's that the truth of God and eternity and the supernatural isn't just another story, but it's a driving force behind all the other stories. Did you ever wonder that? And that maybe that's why we can't seem to get enough of it in this world, everybody. Come on, like you see it like I do. We can't get enough of that stuff. And that maybe that's why, and that really it isn't the same, but it's what we're going after and wondering about in our life. So here's what I know. I'll tell you what I know. And I don't know this because I'm really smart. I'll show you why I know this. I know that every single one of us, wherever you are in this journey of God, every single one of us has the capacity and the desire to wonder. To wonder if there's something bigger, to wonder if there's something more than that. And we are the only creatures who do that. Like, dogs and cats do not wonder about stars and the cosmos and eternity. Dogs wonder where the squirrel went, okay? Like, that's all they wonder. And cats, come on, they don't wonder about it. They don't care about you. They just care about themselves, all right? But for us, we know there's something different. Come on, somebody. We know there's something more than that. We've got something more we wonder about than dogs and cats and the birds in the air. There's something else that's just not satisfied with the normal 9 to 5, eat, sleep, go to bed, all that stuff, repeat. We have this thing in us that just needs to wonder, is there something more? Is there something bigger? Is there something beyond us? We feel like there's got to be something outside the norm. And here's what I know. Here's what I know. We are all like that because we all came from the same Creator God who made us and put eternity in our hearts. And let me show you where I'm getting this from. This is what the writer of Ecclesiastes says. He says this, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Listen to this. He has planted eternity in the human heart. That's why. But even so, people can't see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I just wanna ask, if you're here and you're saying, I'm all the way not there yet with Jesus, I'm not sure about this, but what if? Listen to me, there really is a God who really has put eternity in your heart. And that's why you do wonder if there's something more, that maybe that is what is driving your sense of wonder, but that it's pride that is keeping our wonder at bay. It's pride that won't let it all the way out, just a little bit to the surface, where it just leaves us wondering just a little bit, that there's got to be more. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. In order to get there, we have to lose our pride. We have to have a breakthrough in our pride. Here's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus challenged his pride to drop his guard and climb the tree. He challenged his pride to drop his guard and climb the tree just to give it a glance. And that's all I'm challenging. Just give Jesus a glance. Give this God idea just a glance. You gotta climb the tree just for a minute. We have to be coming willing to climb the tree. And so for someone here who's not committed, you know, maybe consider that all this does point to something that's true. That's all I wanna challenge you with today, that there really is a kingdom beyond. There really is a force of good and a counter force of evil on this world, and that the supernatural does exist, and that everything, listen to me, will be and is gonna be made right by the one true hero, the victor, Jesus. Maybe that is real, and maybe that's why we have all of that content that's out there pointing to the same thing, that maybe Jesus isn't just one more story, but he's the original reality that all other stories are written about. And so for Christians here, I wanna challenge you as well. Have you lost your sense of wonder with Jesus? Don't lose it. Don't believe you've grown out of it, because he wants you to keep that sense of wonder. And so I just don't want you to stay out of the tree as well. So we gotta keep that sense of wonder and have a breakthrough in our pride. Here's the second breakthrough, and it's that he had a breakthrough with the crowd. He had a breakthrough with the crowd. And so in order to see Jesus, right, Zacchaeus had to climb the tree and he had to get away from the crowd. But really the way that I see it, and I just wanna use this a little bit, Zacchaeus didn't so much get away from the crowd, if you think about it, as much as he got over the crowd, right? He got over the crowd. And for us, it's imperative for us as well. We gotta do that too. Here it is, everybody. We just gotta get over some things with people to get to Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? We gotta get over some people stuff. Because I think people a lot of times get in the way of us clearly seeing Jesus. And I just want to say, I think one of the biggest mistakes that we can actually make is to let people determine our conclusion about Jesus. We can't make that mistake. You can't let people determine your decision and conclusion about Jesus. Two reasons why you shouldn't do that. Two reasons why. One is that Jesus is not the same as the crowd. Never will be. He is not the same as the crowd. And here's the second reason why. That the crowd, listen to me, even on its best day, can never fully represent Jesus. Just consider that. Just remember that. That we can't let the crowd define who Jesus is. But this, here's what I want to tell you, Christians. This is one of the biggest reasons why people give up on Christianity. People become the barrier. People become the barrier. I hear this a lot, and I've actually used this myself before I became a Christian. I used this with Christians I knew in my life. And this is what people say. This is what people still say today. They say, why would I become a Christian when Christians are so hypocritical? Ever hear that? Like, they don't love like Jesus says to love. What? They're not even living this whole love thing out. And the church, don't even get me started on the church. They have historically wronged and abused people through their history. They're so self-righteous. Like, they don't love, they just judge. And I can go on and on, right? There's actually a quote, I came across this quote years ago by Mahatma Gandhi, and some of you know this. It gutted me, and it still does today. Here's what he said about Christians. He says, I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And Christians, you know what? They have a point. They have a point. But I want Zacchaeus, if that's you and you're saying that, you're like, you can actually resonate with those statements and questions and things, I want Zacchaeus to help you here, okay? I want him to help you, because here's what he did, and it's really critical for us to do as well. See, here's what he had to do. He had to figure out a way to see Jesus separate from the crowd. He just knew he had to. He's like, I gotta get away from them to actually see Jesus. And then what happens, he saw him clearly. And we need to do the same thing metaphorically with people. We need to get over people. And so here's what you need to do. If you're here and you would say you're not committed and you got some of these reasons and people may be some of those barriers, here's what you need to do. And I hope I say this in a way that I don't become a barrier for you, but here's what I want to challenge you a little bit, okay? You've got to get over the inconsistencies of Christians to see Jesus. I don't know how else to say it. You have to get over our inconsistencies. Don't put on us what only Jesus is. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't put that on us. Like, it's not fair to us. And it's not even fair to you to have a real evaluation of Jesus because don't do that. You got to get over that, right? You got to get over the hypocrisy of people if you want to see Jesus for who he really is. So if you want to be Zacchaeus, here's what you need to say. If I really want to see if I want to see him clearly, I can't let people get in the way. You just got to say that. I'm not going to let people get in the way. And so I want to encourage you today, if that's you, I want to encourage you, man, don't let the crowd keep you from him. He's way too important. Don't let the crowd keep you from him. Don't let the moralistic, self-righteous, judgy people keep you from Jesus. Don't let them. You know who was more turned off by them than you? Jesus. He was way more turned off by them than you ever will be. Don't let hypocrisy stop you either. Because I want to tell you, it's not a good excuse. It's kind of a cop-out, actually. If you're saying that line, yeah, they're hypocrites. And here's the thing. Like, you got to realize, come on, man. We're all hypocrites. Every single one of us. Not one of us consistently lives by the standard by which we think we should live. If anybody had a peek into every single one of our lives, they would say, you are a hypocrite based on how you want to live. Every one of us is like that. So don't cop out on the hypocrisy of people. We're all kind of hypocrites. And so just get over it. You got to get over it. I don't know why Christians always get labeled that. We're all hypocritical in a way of the standard by which we want to live, okay? And so I just want to encourage you to do that. You got to get over that stuff. So if you want to see Jesus clear, if you want to have a real evaluation. And for Christians, really quick, I want you to think about the group you're in. What group are you in? Are you in the crowd of people who people need to get over to get to Jesus? Or are you in the crowd of people who will get them to Jesus quicker? You hear what I'm saying? Like, which way are you living? Is there anything that we're letting get in front of our identity that gets in the way and becomes a barrier to people seeing Jesus? You know, whether it's listening to him, morality, politics, personal preferences. I think all those are free to pursue in the name of Jesus Christ and have, but we cannot let those things be the thing that define us when Jesus is the only thing that should. You hear what I'm saying? So which crowd are you in? What are people hearing from you more? That Jesus is Lord, or like vote this way, or Jesus is Lord? How dare they? I'm just saying, like, which crowd are we a part of? Here's the third one that we need to have a breakthrough is we have to have a breakthrough in the process. And so this one, I think the order of this story, I found more interesting the more I read it. I just wanna go through this really quick because the order of what happens is interesting to me. What we need to see here is this, is that when Jesus said that he was coming home with Zacchaeus, right? When he said, Zacchaeus, I'm gonna come to your house for dinner, nothing was different with Zacchaeus yet. Not one thing changed in Zacchaeus when Jesus did that. So here's what I want to tell you. So the order was not Zacchaeus first going, okay, I'm going to stop all my wrongs. And then Jesus goes, okay, now I'm coming to your house. Good for you, Zacchaeus, right? No. Jesus said, I'm coming home with you, and then change happened. He said, I'm coming home, and then change happens. Jesus invited himself in before anything was cleaned up, before any wrongs were righted or anything was made up for. This is really important to see with the gospel, everybody. Really, really important, because here are the two major camps of thought, and unfortunately Christians are still on one of these two. They shouldn't be, but here are the two main camps of thoughts when it comes to this. It's either one or the other. It's either this: because I change, you will love me, God, or because you love me, I know I can change. And gang, I'm telling you, this story and the gospel only has one of those. So Jesus says, I'm coming home with you. How you are, I see you. And after that, then this is what I love. I love this part of the story. So he says, I'm coming home with you. And it says that he brings him in, you put it up there. And then it says he stood up, which means he was at the house. He stood up from dinner. And here's what it says. I love where he goes, look, Lord. And because here's how I see it. I see this the same way that my daughter Roxy says when she goes, look, daddy. It just comes from this place of joy and happiness and all these things. That's how I see what's happening with Zacchaeus. Now he gets it, and then he also calls him Lord. Lord. And again, I just want you to see all this happens before anything changed, before anything he does. So this is expressed joy, this happiness of calling Jesus Lord, and then change happens. So listen to me. Zacchaeus is responding to something that already happened. You hear what I'm saying? He's not changing to get Jesus' love. He's changing because he received it. And that's huge to understand about the gospel. It's the change that comes as a result. And for Christians, I just want to challenge you in this before we get to the last couple things. I want to challenge you in this. Which one are you seeing and which one are you living out of? Is it because, because I change, you love me? Is that how I'm living? Because I change, you love me, God? Or because you love me, I change? Which one do you believe? Which one are you living out from? Because I think it's clear how Jesus operates and wants to be in your life. And it's the only way the change really will stick and happen, okay? So I wanna give you a few things to think about with this one. A couple things that just stuck out to me with this overall story. Here's one if you wanna write this down. That the story of Zacchaeus shows me that no matter how small I feel, Jesus notices me. That he notices me. You know, I love in this story how Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. You know, I love that. And I think about how powerful that moment had to have been for him because listen, all Zacchaeus was trying to do was just get a glimpse of Jesus. He didn't expect any more with the life that he was living. He was just this short, overlooked man who was not liked by any and he just wanted to, they were trying to shove him out of the way and he just wanted to see Jesus, right? And yet Jesus looks up. I love this. Jesus looks up and he doesn't say, "Hey, you." And he doesn't look at the disciples and go, "Who's that chump in the tree?" He doesn't do that. He's so intentional. He wants Zacchaeus to know, "I know you." Oh, so powerful, isn't it? "I know you. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what is happening in your life. You may feel insignificant. You may feel lost right now. You feel alone right now, but God wants you to know something. He sees you. He notices you. He knows you by name. You are significant. You are his creation. You have value. You have purpose on this earth. You are not alone. And your life is valuable because you are a made creation by him. So he notices you. Here's the second one. That this story also shows me that no matter what I've done, Jesus wants to be with me. That Jesus wants to be with me. Listen, if you take away anything from this story today, take this away. Jesus just wants to be with you. Man, he just wants to go to your house. He wants to party with you, man. Like, that's what he wants. He wants to be around you. And for Zacchaeus, like, here's what I think. Do you know why Jesus did not wait for Zacchaeus to invite Jesus to his house? Because he knew it would never happen. Because Zacchaeus knew that with his guilt, his shame, everything that he did, all the stuff that he was getting from everybody from his life, like, why would Jesus ever come to his house? Like, Jesus would never come to his house because he knew all the stuff that was going on, but here's the thing. He's like, Jesus would never say yes to me. That's what I think Zacchaeus was thinking. And I mean, it had to blow his mind. It had to blow his mind that out of all the people that he wanted to come out and hang out with him, it had to blow his mind. But here's what I want to tell you. This is the constant message that Jesus gives us as well. The constant message that you don't ever think that you're too far gone, that you did too much, that you have too many skeletons in your closet for Jesus to be weary of to come to your house, everybody. You hear what I'm saying? So I'm gonna save you some time here when you think about this. So when it does come to you and Jesus and this thing between you and God, you've blown it. Like, if you're wondering if you've made too many mistakes, the answer is yes, you have. You're not good, you're not gonna make it. You ain't there with him. In fact, here's what I wanna tell you. You're no better than Zacchaeus, but your pride is right now trying to tell you and convince you that you are better than him. You're not. You're not any better than him. But here's what I wanna tell you. This is what the gospel is saying. If Jesus wants to hang out with Zacchaeus, then we're all invited to this story. We're all invited by Jesus for him to come to our home. Anybody hear me out there? Because contrary to popular belief, Jesus is way more interested in saving and changing you than condemning you. Somebody needs to hear me on that. Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters who I am and what I'm gonna do for you. Come on, somebody. Doesn't matter. I still wanna come over to your house. I wanna party with you. I wanna party with you, man. Because here's what he's saying. Because when I do come over, you'll see and you'll change. I love that. And it's a change with me. And the forgiveness that I can bring that can remove every bit of guilt, every bit of shame, everything that you've ever wondered that weighs on your life will be released and free because I can forgive it. I can release that and then you can be made right with the creator God of the universe who made you and that this story is true. Come on, somebody. Amen, anybody? Yeah, so we can invite him in. Let me pray for us. God, God, I thank you. Oh, I'm so excited to be studying Jesus again because I'm so thankful that you did not just stay in heaven. Man, that you came down here to show us who you are. You came down here to show us what you're about. Jesus, I, for me, am so thankful of the day. It's almost 29 years exactly today, March 5th, that I came to see you for the first time, that I came and that I heard you call my name. I wasn't ready for it. I didn't think that you would know me, but you did. And you said, I'm coming with you, Andy. I'm coming home with you. And I'm so thankful, Jesus, that I let you in, that I brought you to my heart. I brought you to my house. I called you Lord because I saw you for who you really are and what you really did and what you still do in my life. And right now, as we're praying, I just want to give some of you a moment in here because I know that you're here and that you've just not taken that step yet, that you're one of those folks that would say that you've not all the way committed. You had these questions, doubts, things, whatever it is that came up with you. And here's what I think is happening right now. I can feel it. Jesus is calling your name. And he's saying, I want to come home with you right now. With all of your life, I see your past, present, future. I see everything. And he's saying to you right now, you're lost. You're wandering. You're wandering. Your life is in unrest. You're not at peace. And it's okay though, because that's what I came here to do. I came here to die for you. I came here to rescue you. I came here to save you from the sin that holds you down and holds you back from real life that you can have with this creator God who made you. And all you need to do is you need to believe in me. You need to believe in who I am and what I did. I really am God. I really did create you. I came to die for you so that sin could be forgiven in your life and you could be made right with God. That's what Jesus came to do. And that's what he's calling you by name in. And for some of you right now, I know that you're hearing him call your name. And so here's what I want you to do. All you got to do is just receive it and just say, yes, Lord, I hear you. And I want you to come and I see you and I believe. And so I'm ready to bring you home. So if that's you and you're ready to do that, if you've come to a place where you're ready to allow God and his salvation in and let Jesus be your savior, where you can call him Lord, I'm gonna help you recognize that if you want. So you can just pray this just to help recognize that. You can pray, God, I wanna receive the invitation that Jesus is giving me. I'm not hiding anymore. I'm showing you everything, all my good, all my bad, all my sin. And I see now that none of it helps me or saves me. It separates me from you. So I believe your invitation. I believe that Jesus came to die for my sin and imperfection, and I'm asking you for your mercy and forgiveness as a result of what Jesus did for me. Today, I accept your invitation. I accept your gift of salvation and grace, and that's what saves me. Lord, for everybody who prayed that prayer, I welcome them into the kingdom of God. We celebrate that with you today. And I just know that somebody prayed that prayer and I'm so thankful they did that. For all of us who already do believe, help us get back this sense of wonder, this sense that you are bigger and better than anything that we could possibly imagine. And that you, with you, the impossible can happen. And I pray that we have that sense today as we walk away. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen. Hey, listen, if anybody prayed that prayer, first of all, I wanna welcome you to the kingdom of God. Let's praise God for anybody who prayed that prayer. We're so glad that you did that. Yeah. One more thing, if you want prayer, we have a prayer team up here now. Somebody's over there and sees the signs there. After service, just come forward. We would love to pray for you for anything that you want prayer on. We're gonna be making that a consistent thing. So just come forward after service right now and we would love to pray for anything that you would like us to pray for. And if you did make a decision for Christ, fill out the Connect card, find me or Chad or Blair. We'd love to talk to you and take you through the next step. That's the first step. So have a great day, everybody. Happy Daylight Saving. We'll see you next Sunday.